Psalm 103. Well, I look forward to the day when we could have some kind of normalcy again. They're saying maybe there'll be a vaccine by the end of the year. Probably go out first to the nursing homes and first responders and things of that nature, I would imagine, and I think that would be right. And then maybe by March or April be about available to everyone. And I do thank the Lord. God put something in my heart a couple years ago. You know, all through my life, I've tried to say we need to be careful to give God the glory. And I believe that's true. But I believe you can give the doctors credit at the same time you're giving God the glory. You can give those people that's devoted their lives to studying and medicine and at the same time give God the glory. I thank the Lord for that. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. We'll be reading more verses later, but for the sake of time right now, I'd like to read two verses. My throat was doing all right until just now. Y'all know we have an enemy, don't you? Say amen. I mean, we have an enemy, so just pray that the Lord will just help us open up our throat and we'll be able to get to the message across that the Lord has dealt in our heart with this week. In verse number 10 of Psalm 103, this is what the Bible said. He, that would be the Lord, hath not dealt with us after our sins. Aren't you glad? Let me say this to you this morning. Pick out what you would consider the little bittiest sin in your life. If he had to deal with us according to that sin, take the little bittiest one. Forget about the biggest one. We couldn't go to heaven. Do y'all understand that? Calvary, the blood of Jesus, washes away all of our sin. The Word of God said he hath not dealt with us after our sins, plural, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. If correctly read, that's Psalm 103, verse 10 and 11. Please pray for us and pray with us. You can be seated. Father, thank you this morning for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us this morning that our sin is under the blood. Thank you, Father, this morning that we have a Bible that's trustworthy. And God, this morning that you're still able to speak through this Bible to our hearts. Speak to hearts today. Lord, it would be the joy of my soul to see somebody turn loose of their pride, turn loose of their sin, walk down this aisle and say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you today, speak to hearts. Father, I pray today that if there's a Christian here, someone that's been born again, yet, Lord, there's a deadness about them, a coldness about them. I pray, God, that you'd just reignite that fire down in their spirit, that revival fire, that, Lord, once again, they could be filled with the joy of the Lord. Father, we know that we're living in perilous times. But Lord, we also know that you are the Lord and you change not. I pray now, Father, that you would take the message and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many's going to pray for us this morning while we try to preach? I appreciate that. I really do. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, In the Middle of It All. How many was here last Sunday? How many just started praying for the preacher? Oh, he's done slipped up now. Amen. He can't even remember what he preached last Sunday. That day's coming soon for me, I believe. Last Sunday, I preached on Psalm 117. We saw that Psalm 117, those two verses, it was the middle chapter in the Word of God. I didn't see this till after church. And I had every intention of just mentioning it Wednesday night. And I don't know, the Lord just didn't put it in my heart to mention it Wednesday night. And between Wednesday and Sunday, and now I understand why he wanted me to preach on it this morning. The two verses that I just read in your hearing are the middle two verses in the Word of God. Psalm 117 is the middle chapter in the Word of God. There, these two verses are the 15,551st verse and the 15,552nd verse in the Bible. You say, well, preacher, why is there not a middle verse? Well, if you put a line between verse 10 and 11, that would be the middle. So I'm preaching on the middle two verses in the Word of God, the middle of it all. I challenge you to do this after church. I challenge you to go home and compare the middle two verses to the middle chapter in the Word of God. You can't make it up. I'm telling you, beloved, it's awesome. Amen. How that God just ties it together. Every time I've turned around this week, I mean every time I've opened my Bible, God has magnified His mercy. His mercy. His mercy. I want to give you three things out of the text today, and I pray that God will use it for His honor and for His glory. I don't know why, and I haven't done a lot of research, but after church last Sunday and then again on Monday, one of our men mentioned to me that they thought that the middle verse in the Bible or the middle of the Bible was Psalm 118, something or another. And I got to doing a little research, and somebody said, well, you have to go to the Hebrew to get that. And somebody else said, well, there's no chapters and divisions in the Hebrew Bible. And there's not. There's not chapters and verses in the Hebrew Bible. There's paragraphs in the Hebrew Bible. And each paragraph will start with two letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So I'm not real smart, but I've done enough research to understand and know that Psalm 117 is the middle chapter in the King James Bible. And that's what we preach out of. So I'm preaching on in the middle of it all. And then in Psalm 103, at verse number 10 and 11, that's the middle two verses in the King James Bible, in the Word of God that we have in our lap today. And I'm going to make a strong statement, not here to offend anybody, but if you don't have a King James Bible in your lap, you don't have the Word of God in your lap. I don't know what you'd do, Brother Rose, how you'd find the middle of something when they took verses out. The Word of God said don't take away and don't add to. The Word of God, thank God, is still the Word of God and it'll still get the job done. I believe with all my heart that if men would spend as much time letting the Word of God fix them as they are trying to fix the Word of God, we'd be a lot better off. Amen? So in the middle of it all is what I want to preach on today and come back and look at these middle two verses in the Word of God. It's three simple thoughts that I see here, and I'm going to give them to you, magnifying especially the last thought that God has given me. The first thought that I see here in these middle two verses, I use the word Father. The Word of God, if you'll circle the word in verse 10, He. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Beloved, when it comes right down to it, everything in life has to do with that individual and his relationship to his Heavenly Father. That's going to be the important thing in the end. Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know it's a father? Look in verse number 13. The Word of God said, like as a father. Well, let me just read verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Look in verse 13. Like as a father pitieth His children, and the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Watch verse 14. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. You know what a lot of people would do them good day to remember? They came from the dust, they're going back to the dust. And what's going to matter is what you've done in between. Two things. Number one, what did you do with Jesus? Did you receive Him or did you reject Him? And then number two, after that you received Jesus, what did you do for Him? What did you do with your life because you love Him, because you love the church, because you love sinners? Amen. I believe there will be a reward for the child of God that has been faithful to the things of God. Don't you? We're not saved by works, but we work because we're saved. I don't believe in a work salvation, but I believe in a salvation that works. Beloved, if you have a salvation that doesn't cause you to want to work, you don't have the salvation the Bible talks about. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But go on to the next verse, for His workmanship. Hey, He made us, amen. He created us. And the Lord of God said, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God had already settled it. When a man comes to Christ, his life is going to be changed, and he's going to get involved in the work of God. Why? Because his heart. Hannah and them sang a while ago, my life has been changed. You know what? The outside gets changed, but not before the inside gets changed. When there's a change that works its way from the inside out, that's Christianity. When there's a change that works its way from the outside in, that's Phariseeism. There's a lot of people, beloved, in the world today that's so proud of the outside. And Jesus said they're just like whited sepulchres. They're full of dead men's bones. There's nothing on the inside but corruption. There's nothing on the inside but pride. The only thing we have, beloved, a right to be proud of this morning is Him. Hallelujah! His grace and His mercy. We see a Father. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I thought about the model prayer. A lot of people don't pray, but God said pray. And the Word of God tells us in that model prayer to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. Is He your Father this morning? Beloved, do you understand that you can only have one of two fathers? Jesus told the Pharisees, said, you're your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. But beloved, when you get saved by the grace of God, born again, you get to change destinations because you changed fathers. Amen. We have a father that pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The next thing I see in the middle of it all, and by the way, you remember last week how we tried to put Christ, the hub, everything else goes out from him, the spokes in our life. The wheel, it all centers around the hub. It centers around Christ. I thought about that again this week when I jacked that travel trailer up and was pumping that grease in there. I had Miss Eve pulling the trigger while I was rolling the wheel and putting that grease in that grease fitting. And thank God, listen, thank God, He's the grease that'll keep things going in your life smoothly. He's the grease that'll keep things going in your home smoothly. He's the one, beloved. Listen, the blessed Holy Spirit, when Jesus is in the center, He's the lubricant that will keep things going in the church smoothly, the way that it ought to go, for the glory of God. Beloved Jesus, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Prayer is not to get God's will done. Beloved, listen, heaven's will done, but not to get earth's will done in heaven, but to get heaven's will done, God's will done in the earth. The second thing that I see in the middle of it all, in these middle two verses, is forgiveness. The Father wants you to know something. He wants you to know that He knows who you are. He knows what you are. He knows how frail you are. The Word of God tells on down there, it says here, for the wind passeth, or we'll look at verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Honey, it ain't going to be long. This old boy's going to be G-O-N-E, gone. and you're going to be G-O-N-E, gone. The question is, where are you going? You say, well, preacher, there's three places, not in the Word of God. There's four places, not in the Word of God. There's two places in the Word of God. One of them is a place called heaven, and the other is a place called hell. And you say, preacher, what makes the difference? I'll tell you, it's a Father that forgives. One of the greatest things Jesus cried from the cross of Calvary is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Word of God said here, He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that whosoever will can come and say to the Father, Father, just like the prodigal son, I have sinned against thee. Forgive me. And you know what God will do? He will forgive that individual. I like what the songwriter said. I can't remember all the line, but my sin's not in part, Brother Thurman, but the whole. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't go through my life that night and say, I'll forgive this and not this, but He washed me clean as a driven snow. Every sin. I like the song when it talks about the believer coming and trying to name some things off to the Lord. And the Lord says, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore from the book of life. They've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed our transgressions from us. The Word of God, John stood on the banks of the Jordan River, and John said this, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away. I will tell you something right now. I don't know where He took them, when He took them away, but I do know this. He took them all to Calvary. The Word of God said He bare our sin in His body on that tree. I will tell you something right now. Sin has to be paid for. You can either pay for it yourself, or you can come and trust the one that's already paid it all and realize all to Him you owe. There's forgiveness with our God. The Word of God said He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Look at the first part of the verses. Excuse me, the chapter here. Look what the Bible said. David said, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. I want to ask you something. When's the last time in your life you lost it? You say, preacher, what do you mean? When's the last time in your life you just got to have you said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. This church needs to be thankful that we've got young people that are still standing and still singing songs that mean something for the glory of God. There ought to be somebody, something welling up saying, Bless the Lord, oh my soul. These children in the bus ministry, the missions, somebody ought to be blessing His name because of the goodness of God. But watch it. He said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but a lot of people, a lot of God's people, act like they have forgotten that they've been forgiven. If you ever get to a point in your pride where you're looking down that nose and thinking you're better than somebody else in this world, you've gotten to a point where you have forgotten that you have been forgiven. You take the nastiest thing that's been done last week. It's a grace of God. It wasn't your pastor doing it. It's a grace of God. It wasn't you doing it. The grace of God. It wasn't your children doing it. Or your grandchildren doing it. In the middle of it all, there's a Father. In the middle of it all, there's forgiveness. Look here in verse number 3. Who forgiveth most of thine iniquities. Huh? Somebody help me. Yeah, do you know what that means in the Hebrew? It means all. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? I said, ain't that good? That's a mighty special Father that's willing I used to like to do something when I was in school. I'm telling on myself a little bit now. Some of you all that are good students, close your ears. But I wasn't a real good student. That's probably why my wife cringes a lot when I'm preaching, when I'm tearing the English language up. But one of my favorite things at school to do was erase the blackboard. How many remembers the blackboard? Oh, we've got modern nowadays, amen. Everybody's got we call it a tablet on their lap. Nowadays we got dry erase boards. Well, back in the day, we had chalk and we had erasers. You say, preacher, why would you want to be the one erasing the board? Brother Mike, because you got to go outside the classroom. And if y'all don't know it, it takes a long time to get that chalk out of them erasers. Long time. And then the end of the week, I didn't mind to be the one. At the end of the week, we washed it. We took a bucket of water. You go down the hall, walking just as slowly as you possibly can. Every minute in the hall is a minute out of that classroom. And you get you a rag and you get you some water and you go back and you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I used to teach them this in the prison. When God saves a man, I took a chalkboard one time, I turned it around backwards to the congregation over there in Corinthians where Paul talked about adulterers and thieves and whoremongers and idolaters, abusers of themselves with mankind, liars. I wrote every sin I could find in the Bible. I wrote it on that chalkboard. Wrote it down. And when I was preaching, Brother Rose, I turned that chalkboard around. And that's what I said to the men. I said, how many of you all are guilty of some of this? In their heads. I said, look at me, fellas. None of us are guilty of some of this. All of us are guilty of all of this. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. Not if you understand the Word of God. Beloved, the Bible said if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. I'm trying to magnify a Savior that forgives the whole mess. I took the eraser. I started preaching on the blood of Jesus, Bob, and I took the eraser. And I erased the board. I said, here's what the blood of Jesus does. He just erases. And I didn't even plan on this part of the illustration. I planned all that up to there. But then I got happy. And while I was preaching, after I'd erased the board, I got happy, and I hit the eraser. I preached for a few minutes. I held the eraser up. I said, somebody come up here and put this back on the board just like it was. Take it out of this eraser and put it back on the board just like it was. They couldn't do it. I got happy. I went like that. And there was a cloud of dust come out of that eraser. And that air current, your daddy would tell you, Bob, in them big chapels, that air current carried that big cloud of dust. Glory to God. That's what Jesus did with our sin. He carried it away. Never to be remembered against us again. In the middle of it all, there's a Father. In the middle of it all, there's forgiveness. The last thing I want you to see in the message this morning, and if you just got excited, you're definitely a visitor. But the last thing I want you to see this morning is the fear. Look in the Word of God here. The Bible said, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them. Those that are shaking their fist at God. Those that are just using God's name in vain never stop to think that they're going to stand before God one day after a while. His mercy is great toward them that fear Him. They came up with a slogan a few years ago in America. It's printed on t-shirts. It's printed on bumper stickers. It's all through the internet. No fear! I'm going to tell you what, we'll never have revival till we have fear again. You'll never be saved. The Word of God said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're just beginning to wise up when you come to a place in your life where you fear God. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Folks, God is holy. I said God is holy. Fear comes from a Hebrew word. It's pronounced yare. It means fearing, morally, reverent, afraid, fearful. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The night God saved me, I was afraid that I was going to drop off into hell. I was afraid. You say, preacher, what made you afraid? The truth. The truth that I was a sinner. The truth that there is a heaven. The truth that there is a hell. The truth that someone hung between heaven and hell on an old rugged cross and paid that debt for me. It made me fear. The Bible said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. He will show Him His covenant. The Bible said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. The Bible said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The Bible said, oh, fear ye the Lord, ye His saints. There's no want to them that fear Him. Surely His salvation is nigh unto them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. You know what that means? That means when a person believes the Word of God and acts upon that, that's what true belief does. You can believe in your mind and sit still. But if you ever believe in your heart, you'll have to move. You'll have to act upon what you know is truth. Luke chapter 1, verse 50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Revelation 19:5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, ye that fear Him, both small and great. This morning, the fear of the Lord, right in the middle of it all, God said, I want to introduce you to myself. I'm your Father. If you'll just come to me, if you'll just trust me. I have forgiveness, but it'll not take place until you come to a place in your life where you're willing to trust someone other than yourself. Where you're willing to lay down your pride, lay down your sin, and admit what you know is true. I'm a lost sinner, and I need a Savior. The Word of God said, watch this in Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. He said, Pastor, I wouldn't read verses like that. Why not? God put them in the Word of God. God said, don't be afraid of that guy that might take your life. You better be afraid of the one that can destroy both your body and your soul. Watch this now. The Word of God said this in the book of Hebrews. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Watch this now. You can fall into His hands while you're living for forgiveness. Or you will fall into His hands after you die for judgment. It's now He can be your Savior. Then He'll be your judge. He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, but God, I went to church. He'll say, but oh, but friend, my son died. Oh, but God, I gave some money. Friend, my son died. You heard the message. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible said in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers. You know, it's bad. People that are lost, it don't matter if they're lost on a church pew or lost on a bar stool. They're going to the same hell with the murderers, the whoremongers, the liars, the sorcerers, the idolaters. The Bible said they're all have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, Pastor, that's not in the middle of it all. Yes, it is, in one little word, F-E-A-R, fear. The Word of God said here, the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. I ask you a question today. Do you fear Him? Do you fear Him? Do you fear Him? I read this and I thought I would read it in closing. One time many years ago, the king of Hungary, he found himself depressed and unhappy. A lot of people like that these days. He sent for his brother, a good-natured but rather indifferent prince. The king said to him, I am a great sinner. I fear to meet God. That made me think of Larry in the hospital a little while back. Brother Wayne, when he said, lately I've been afraid. He said, I fear to meet God, but the prince only laughed at him. This didn't help the king's disposition any at all. Though he was a believer, the king had gotten a glimpse of his guilt for the way he had been living lately. And he seriously wanted help. In those days, it was customary if the executioner sounded a trumpet before a man's door at any hour, it was a signal that he was to be led to his execution. The king sent the executioner in the dead of night to sound the fateful blast at his brother's door. The prince realized with horror what was happening. Quickly dressing, he stepped to the door and was seized by the executioner and dragged pale and trembling into the king's presence. In an agony of terror, he fell on his knees before his brother and begged to know how he had offended him. My brother, answered the king, if the sight of a human executioner is so terrible to you, shall not I, having grievously offended my God, fear to be brought before the judgment seat of Christ? There are people that are more afraid of the human executioner than they are the God of heaven. And I promise you this. The Word of God said every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The only question is this. Will you confess on this side? While there's forgiveness, while there's mercy, while there's hope, while there's a Father that's offering forgiveness? Or will you leave this world unprepared to meet God and have to kneel in His presence on the other side when it's too late to be forgiven, too late to find mercy? Beloved, I believe there comes a day when it's too late. I've never thought of this before, Brother John, but those two thieves hung there. One of them changed his mind about who Jesus is, and he said, "Remember me, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Bob, I just thought about this. Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." This fellow over here didn't believe that. According to the record of the Word of God, he died in his sin. One man died in sin, another man died to sin. The man in the middle, the Lord Jesus, he died for sin. I wonder this. It just came to my heart and my mind. I wonder when he dropped off into hell, if maybe the first words out of his mouth weren't, "Lord, remember me." I think that's very possible, don't you? He would have given anything to experience the same peace that that other thief had just experienced before he died. But it was too late. He may still be crying, "Lord, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Forgive me." But I'm telling you, there comes a time when it's too late. Too late. Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, if you'll turn loose of your pride, turn loose of your sin, and admit that you are what God said every one of us are, a sinner in need of a Savior. Everybody's going to heaven come to that realization somewhere along the way that the sinner needed the Savior, that we couldn't save ourselves, that we needed mercy, we needed forgiveness. In the middle of it all, the middle chapter, the middle two verses, there's a Father. There's forgiveness, but there's fear in a man's life that only God can remove. The fear of dying, the fear of judgment, the fear of torment, the fear that the Word of God said is the beginning of wisdom. You can say whatever you want to, but what's going on in our land with many, many, there's no fear of God before their eyes. When you can walk up in cold blood and take another man's life, when you can destroy another man's business that he's worked his whole life, and for the life of me, I've never been able to figure out. I mean, if I thought I was being done unjustly, I wouldn't want to add more injustice to my own people. But it'll be a happy day in America. Some have already come to that realization that we're Americans. Some of us are this color or that color or no color, pale. But we're Americans. And God wants us to treat each other like Americans, like people that God created. God created every one of us. It doesn't matter what nationality we are. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter if we're poor or if we're rich. God loves us, and He offers forgiveness. But with many, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Many in America have forgotten that we're going to stand before God one day after a while. One day we're going to be gone. The only thing we can hope is that we left a testimony that would have an impact in somebody else's life. Let's bow for prayer this morning.